Did the Jays dig the inning?
Google products are designed to help you find relevant local news. Learn how Google supports news in Canada at g.co/news in Canada.
This story sounded to me, when I first read it, like a no-brainer. And then as I got more deeply into it, I thought, this raises some interesting questions. It started with an op-ed opinion piece written by Tom Mulcair, who speaks often on this radio station as a political commentator for both CTV News and Bell Media and iHeartRadio and News Talk 1010 in Toronto quite often. And it's an op-ed that he's written basically expressing support for a class action lawsuit that a environmental group out of Quebec is trying to get certified. They have tried to get this suit, which they want to take the federal government to court. They've tried to certify it in the Quebec Superior Court, and they failed. They've taken it to the Quebec Court of Appeal, and they failed. They're now seeking leave to appeal it to the Supreme Court of Canada, and we will find out tomorrow, apparently, whether or not the Supreme Court will hear the case and make a decision. Supreme Court could just say, no, we're not interested, it's not that important, and ignore it, in which case it's over. Or they could hear it, and it could be tried by the Supreme Court. So that will be interesting. What is the basis of their claim? Well, they're saying that successive Canadian governments have failed to take substantive action on climate change. They say the Canadian government, of its own free will, signed on to the Kyoto Protocol, and then the same government, the Liberal government of Jean Chrétien, his chief of staff, Eddie Goldenberg, at the time, famously admitted that they didn't really intend to do anything about the Kyoto Protocol. It was about galvanizing public opinion for future action, and that subsequent governments have really not done anything. They haven't met any of their targets. You know, there's more targets for 2030. Nobody believes we're going to make them. And they're saying that the rights of future generations of Canadians are at stake, and they want the Supreme Court to basically order the government to do its job. Joining me now to understand the actual legal principles involved here is Gavin Tai, somebody else you hear regularly on this station. He's a partner at Gardner Roberts LLP. Gavin, welcome to the Jerry Agar Show.
Thanks, Mark. Good to be here.
I've got three questions for you, and maybe those will lead to others, but I want to start just from sort of the first principle. This is a class action lawsuit that seeks to represent future Canadians. Is that something that any court would recognize?
Well, that raises an interesting issue, because that's exactly the point upon which the original certification motion, and let me say it's in Quebec, so it's called an authorization motion in Quebec, failed. Because the class that was set out here was not only future Canadians, but only Quebecers, mind you, under the age of 35. And the court of first instance of the Superior Court said that that was a, quote, arbitrary, and I'm quoting the English version, arbitrary and inappropriate cutoff point for the members of the class. So the short answer is that's exactly where the certification failed, was on the nature of the class involved.
So could they change that, like describe a future generation in a different terms that the court might accept, or they'd have to go back to a first level court?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting because it's as much as the Mulcair piece that you're talking about talks about this as being unprecedented, it's actually not that unprecedented. In fact, a similar issue went to the Supreme Court in relation to another Quebec class action. Now, let me just backtrack a bit and say Quebec is probably the most plaintiff-friendly jurisdiction in Canada as far as getting class action certified. But there was another class action in Quebec relating to the Volkswagen emissions sort of jerry-rigging that they went on with on behalf of all Quebecers that they sued Volkswagen. That that class was, in fact, certified. That went up to the Supreme Court, which heard the appeal, which allowed leave brought by Volkswagen in that instance, and heard it and said, yes, that's appropriate. And so that proceeding was allowed to continue. So it's not the first time that a Quebec environmental class action has gone to the Supreme Court of Canada, and okay. probably not the last time.
So my second major point is this something that the Supreme Court should weigh in on? To me, this smacks of policy, and politics is the province of Parliament, and the court should probably stay out of it.
Well, you've hit the nail on the head on the larger issue in terms of whether or not climate change is a justiciable, if I can use that word, issue at all. And certainly, look, Canada is not at the vanguard of this. There's been other cases in other jurisdictions, most notably in the United States, where the class did get certified. It went ahead and the court ultimately said, yes, there is climate change. Yes, it causes harm to people. But courts are not the place that should be dealing with this. It was beyond the power of the court. Contrast that, if you will, Mark, with other cases in other jurisdictions, for example, in the Netherlands, where a Dutch court did find that the government was, in fact, liable and owed a duty of care and awarded damages for the government failing to protect citizens. So courts in various jurisdictions have gone both ways on whether it's the proper place, but we're not there yet in Canada. This motion that was brought here is whether or not a class proceeding, as it was framed in this particular case, is appropriate at all, and whether that class proceeding should be authorized in this particular case. That all that means is you can bring the action, and then you get to argue about later on all of those delicious issues, whether or not the courts are the appropriate place to determine it at all. But we're not, as I said, this is a preliminary issue that's going to Supreme Court of Canada now.
So, Gavin Tai, here is my mischievous question, and you kind of maybe mooted some of my point a little bit, darn you, by sort of saying they defined the class as people under 35. But colloquially, and in the press, this is being explained as the rights of future generations of Canadians are being abrogated by inaction by government today. And if I was to believe that future generations of Canadians had rights, would I then not have to believe that unborn Canadians also have rights? And so if I'm an environmentalist who believes that we have to act now to protect the rights of future Canadians, should I not then also, by definition, be anti-abortion?
My goodness, that is a mischievous question, and I am not biting on that one, Mark. But I will say this part: the court of first instance in Quebec, in the Anjou case, which is a case we're talking about, actually didn't even go so far as the future generations, because they said the children who were part of the proposed class were inappropriate because you couldn't force all of these children to be part of a class proceeding that would sweep them into this position, taking a political position that the government was on undertaking its mandate in an inappropriate way. So if you couldn't even do it for kids that are here now, the court didn't even go so far as to say as the kids that will be born tomorrow. So they didn't even go there. But it's a very interesting question as to whether you can litigate on behalf of persons who do not yet exist. And I think the answer to that question is probably not.
So do you think tomorrow the Supreme Court's decision will be that they will not grant leave to appeal?
I actually think that the jury is out on it. As I said, they granted leave in the Volkswagen case. They heard that case. Is it an issue of national importance? That's really what the Supreme Court is interested in. They're interested in questions of policy. And it may be, Mark, that they want to hear the case to establish the issue that you've pointed out, that these are not issues that belong in court at all, and they need to grant leave in order to make that decision. So quite frankly, I don't know the answer to that. Statistically, it's very difficult to get leave to appeal to the Supreme Court of Canada, but this may be a case where they consider that this is an issue of national importance they want to weigh in on, if only to say that these types of cases don't belong in courts at all.
Gavin Tai, partner at Gardner Roberts LLP, thanks so much for your time today.
Thanks, Mark. Glad to be here.
And the corollary of my mischievous question is, if you're a social conservative who believes that unborn children do have rights that must be protected at law, then shouldn't you also be an environmentalist concerned about the rights of future children and their environment that they're going to live in? I think you have to be. I don't know how you could split that hair. Anyway, I'm sure, you know, many heads are exploding right now, so that's fine.
What's the latest on the housing crisis? Did the Jays dig the inning?
What's going on with passport lines?
Google products are designed to help you find relevant local news from reliable publications, big and small. Learn how Google supports news in Canada at g.co/newsincanada.